T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It is Dom time. Welcome in, everyone. Thanks so much for being part of it. 11 o'clock hour is always fabulous on a Friday. We have the game of the week, and Dan has dipped in some spelling there again for Category 2 for a great prize. So if you've never played, you got to at least give it a try and show up. It's impeachment, words associated with all this impeachment stuff, which is the subject of our next guest, because this Sunday there is a concerted effort, an organized effort, of various mainline progressive self-billed, and they say evangelical. I'm going to ask that of our guest. Pastors, reverends, ministers, rabbis, and also historically African-American churches, to be praying that the country is made to see, I mean, this is the language, I'm summarizing it, what President Trump has done, particularly the lying, evasion of the truth, and all the stuff around impeachment. Essentially, the argument is there's weariness of seeing the Franklin Grahams and these other evangelical supporters of Trump. So this is a day of prayer and also preaching against that and giving the other side. Now, it's hard to get some of these folks on, but Dan knows a progressive minister, Reverend Pastor Dave Delaney, currently serves as pastor of St. Paul's United Methodist Church in West Deptford. He's a member of the United Methodist Church New Jersey Conference Board of Church and Society. And this is interesting, serves as the chair of their immigration task force. So we'll talk about that. Formerly, he was most associated in the Atlantic City area and served as host and producer of TV and radio programs for 25 years, primarily in Atlantic City. Let's bring in Pastor Dave Delaney here on Talk Radio 1210. Pastor Dave, thank you very much for joining us.
Good morning, Dom. It is a beautiful day. Do you mind if we start with prayer?
Absolutely.
All right, let's just have a brief prayer with God. Creator God, we thank you that we could come together and that in this nation we have freedom of speech. We're thankful for voices such as Dom's and others around the nation. But today, Lord, we pray for our president, our senators, our Congress people, that in this great nation we come together so that we can be community and we can do amazing things. So God bless this time that Dom and I share. But God, we just pray that we continue to celebrate the freedoms this nation has. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you. You're the first guest out of, I think I've interviewed, we guesstimate over 25,000 people, maybe more, that's open with a prayer. So nothing bad can come out of that. Thank you, Pastor, for doing it.
Not at all, Dom. I mean, I'm a great believer that prayer has an amazing power and across faith lines. And, you know, obviously, listening to WPHT, there's folks who are of every religious background and those without religious backgrounds. But prayer is a commonality we share.
Well, I think you ought to be somebody that's involved with the progressive side, and you've done TV and radio, that would be a good face for that versus what I see lining up Sunday. This prayer fest and gospel preaching on Sunday is about saying we're not going to cede ground to the supporters of the president. You said to pray for the president, which is always good, and I agree we should pray for all people in power for obvious reasons. But what would your prayer to the president be about? What are you praying for? Other than a gesture of goodwill, what else would you be praying for in a leader like Donald Trump?
Well, first, I, if you don't mind, a little clarification. I know you were paraphrasing and I'm not part of the group that's organizing Sunday, but what they are doing is that they are praying. Their statement is, we encourage faith communities to invite their congressional representatives to join them for a national day of prayer to bring light of truth, honesty, and transparency that this moment affords our country, whatever may be revealed. So they're hoping for prayer, you know, that in this constitutional process is not to condemn any one person.
Well, let me interject there, though, too. The tenor of it, when I read their release and see the people involved, that's exactly where it's going, to shed light on impeachment and on the reasons for impeachment. I think that's what we're going to see play out on Sunday.
Well, Don, you know, as you being a former English teacher, you know that nuances in language can easily cause something to shift left, right, in between. But I'm seeing this, you know, as somebody who's been a praying person all my life, that there's going to be people on both sides that are going to take that statement and say, oh, we're going to twist it. I don't think there's a call to preach it on Sunday. I think it's a call to prayer. But anyhow, I being somebody who was part of the Atlantic City media, I've had several past opportunities where I have been one-on-one with the man who's currently our president. Now, I do have to say I've never prayed with Donald Trump. I've stood shoulder to shoulder with Donald Trump. But if I was to pray for him right now, it would be a prayer of health, first of all. Health and strength, because I think we want all of our leaders mm-hmm. to be that, and a prayer that the Holy guides him. What we need in this nation is honesty and truth.
Okay, well, let me cut to one of those specific areas that you are the chair to of the Immigration Task Force across New Jersey. So.
Right.
I support President Trump's position. We could talk about position by position in some.
Well,
I'm talking about on the immigration issue, which the bottom line is we're going to protect America and we're going to protect American workers primarily, second to none.
Right.
Does this immigration task force take issue with that statement? In other words, give me something, because I have a sense there would be a difference here, of where you think Trump is wrong on this.
Well, again, you know, we get into political policies, and, you know, as a faith person, I focus on Jesus Christ and God. I think that what's important, and the nuances of legislation can vary, but my scripture that makes me who I am comes from Matthew 25. This is Jesus maybe at his harshest, and he talks about, I was a stranger, and you didn't welcome me, and then he said, you know, if you didn't welcome me, you didn't welcome, and people in the scripture, those who thought they were believers said, but when did I not welcome you, Jesus? And he said, when you didn't welcome the least of these, you didn't welcome me.
Okay, but let's break that down, those two specifics. Okay, we've gotten to the core of it, Pastor Dave, and that is we do welcome. America is a welcoming nation, even under Trump, even under this stuff. If done the right way, doesn't a nation have the right to control its sovereignty and the numbers of people and the people that we want to come into the country?
And Dom, I wouldn't argue with you that countries have the right to establish laws. Your view and my view as to who gets in or the process would be varied. I'm not saying, oh, you know, let's just have everybody come crashing in the land, but when I have held a woman from the Democratic Republic of Congo whose hands were smashed with sledgehammers because she was not part of their political system, she came here as a refugee to the United States. She was thankful for coming here to the United States. I would say for somebody like that who saw the Statue of Liberty's torch and made it all the way here, that matters, and we need to care for and welcome those who might not be a statistical person, who might not have health insurance that they could afford. But I go to the beacon of the Statue of Liberty and the statement there. Now, faith, people of faith who believe in Jesus Christ, it's a much broader scope, but I'm not saying to put religion and politics together or governance, but I believe that we've become overly strict and overly fearful of human beings that Jesus teaches us to love, and that instead what's happened with the administration, especially during the campaign in 2016, every immigrant was painted as being a rapist, murderer, criminal, And there are a greater percentage of our citizens who are than percentage-wise of immigrants. So,
well, I would challenge you on that last. That's for another show when we have you back on that last statement you made. Yes, yeah, okay. But so you think we're being way too restrictive here, and I think it makes up for years where we have not been. What do you think of the fact, though, that even in places like New Jersey, as progressive as it is, there is a widespread support for President Trump? That's how he won the election, this immigration issue. Do you think Americans are ignorant on this, or are they just made, their bigotry's coming out because they've been made fearful?
Okay, well, you know, you and I probably both agree. I think most Americans have a significant degree of ignorance about all legislative. You know, I think we've created a society that we don't teach social studies and civics and all sorts of stuff. So I'm not being cruel by saying Americans are ignorant and it's not related to immigration, where we each can have a different view. But, and it's not bigotry. I see that's a nuanced word. I don't consider somebody who disagrees with me on immigration, for the most part, as being bigoted.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's a view of how we treat strangers in the land. And I could go back to the Torah, which is just as clear as Jesus. So my holy book, the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, in between prophets, Jesus, Paul, are all consistent on how we should treat those people coming in as immigrants. In Exodus, God says to Moses, you were strangers in Egypt, so now you need to welcome the aliens in your land and treat them as one of your own.
Okay, Pastor, I wanted to just take one more issue, and we definitely want to talk with you, particularly after we see how this plays out on Sunday. How does your church, what's the message around the issue of life? Because this is a national, political, religious issue. There's no getting around it. And in my view, the National Democrat Party and progressives in general are very callous on this issue. We've gone so far with the Virginia governor.
I'll tell you, Dom, that the United Methodist Church is one of the leaders in standing up against the death penalty. There's a consistency that I think's needed, that if we are pro-life, we're pro-life consistent from birth to death.
I don't see any inconsistency, because I see the death penalty as protecting us. There's innocent life. There is life that is not innocent, and that is somebody who takes life.
Dom, when you put somebody to death, you are killing somebody, and that goes against what we're taught by Scripture. So,
it does not. I'm a Catholic, but it does not, at least up until now.
I'm looking at a consistency. If we're going to be pro-life, we're going to take care of the orphans that Jesus talks about, that we're going to, that adopt, babies that need to be adopted are going to be cared for, that health care is provided.
And that is a Christian position, and I support you on that, but I'm asking about how far progressives, Pastor.
When the birth control, the number of abortions went down, and it made a huge difference.
What's the position of your church, as you understand it, or as you will preach it on Sundays, when it comes to this issue of life? And what we've seen in the political circles which intersect with this, where you had the Virginia governor saying, we take a baby, fully formed baby, we take a pause and we decide whether it's going to live or not. Is that condoned? When is life sacred here that it has to be protected? Is there a position?
Where the United Methodist, and I don't have the exact phrasing, when the only time that we see that ending a pregnancy is applicable is when the life of the mother is endangered, rape, incest. I mean, those are the categories that fall in. It's not an open-ended reality, but there's also an understanding that there are times when a fetus is not going to be viable, and it puts at risk the life of the mother, that a woman who's raped, that those types of things, that the harm done to that woman through the pregnancy, and we could argue about that, but I think that we are very consistent as a denomination from, again, we support child care for newborn infants. We support adoption. We are opposed to the death penalty. So there's a whole consistency of being pro-life that I think the pro-life movement becomes so limitedly focused that if you ask many people in the pro-life movement, okay, if there's a woman who wanted to go for an abortion but says, if I go full term, will you adopt the baby? They'll say, oh, not me. I'm not going to adopt that baby.
Listen, Pastor Dave, I know a lot of people right now would be outraged by what you said, and I'm sorry we were flat out of time this time, but we will invite you back because I want to see how this plays out on Sunday.
Yeah, I hope that your prayer, my prayer, is that our constitutional process goes forward, that honest truth and not tied to the political sides, that we're at a point where we're in a political crisis, but that we get an honest answer, that the best thing for our country is for the honesty to show that there's no crime, no misdemeanor. That's the best thing that could happen for our country.
All right, I got you. Flat out of time, Pastor Dave. Enjoyed talking with you. I hope you thought the same, and thank you for the prayer in the beginning, too. Thank you very much.
All right, have a blessed day, Dom.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.